Hello, welcome to another episode of BJ and the Battlecruiser. Thought I would do a invitational review show. I mean, it was such a good day yesterday. We had a worthy winner, which we'll go into a bit. The day had a bit of everything, really. I'll start from the beginning. You know, obviously, was up early at 4 a.m. Big alarm call for that one. You know, I travelled up there with Joe Parris and Chris Rooney. Just excited, really. It'd been so much build up to the day, so much build up to Prince's as a golf course. The content had been fire, so we were just so excited to get going, so excited to get up there or get down there, wherever you're coming from. And the day didn't disappoint. You know, we turned up, me, Parris, and Rooney. We got there about 8 o'clock. Absolutely no traffic, which is great. You know, it's an impressive place. You drive in, long driveway, you know, you drive past Royal St George's, you see the open grandstands that are going up, and you know, it kind of hit home that this is kind of a special bit of golfing territory. You know, I mean driving in, seeing the conditioning of Prince's, and I mean visually it was quite breathtaking, really. We obviously got there, majority of the field turned up in the party coach. Special shout out to the boys that went on the coach. I think beforehand there was a bit of anxiety from myself that they were going to turn up absolutely bollocks, but to everyone's credit, they were very well behaved. You know, I think everyone kind of got the importance of the day, kind of understood the magnitude of playing at somewhere as prestigious as Prince's, and the behaviour was, you know, was according to that. It was a privilege, really. You know, I think the tour's come a long way from Gatton Manor, where, you know, we won't go into the absolute disgraceful scenes we saw there, but on the whole, you know, the behaviour since has been first class. So thanks to everyone that obviously turned up, that didn't get too rowdy. You know, obviously at BGA Tour events, we want to encourage people to have a good time. You need to find that balance, especially like when you go somewhere a bit more prestigious, a bit more elite. But yeah, party coach turned up. It's a real nice atmosphere, really, on the putting green. Obviously at Prince's, they've got fantastic practice facilities. They've got a nice driving range, which I didn't actually see. They've got a really big putting green, which is, you know, it's got loads of runoff areas. You know, they've got a chipping area. It's just a stunning, stunning golf facility, really. I mean, going somewhere like Prince's, you know, it's just another level. You know, we played Perfa for the TPC, the Working Man's Major, and then to go somewhere like Prince's, you know, not saying there's anything wrong with Perford, but it just magnifies the difference. You know, I think it's going to be a bit jarring when we go to, you know, one of these lesser courses, you know, in coming up. So yeah, just first impressions from Prince's. It was breathtaking, amazing place. It was a shame that they've actually got a museum, and they've got a lot of memorabilia and stuff like that from the 1932 Open, and a lot of history. Unfortunately, due to COVID, the clubhouse was shut, so kind of didn't get that. But, you know, I think we sensed the history there and what Prince's was about. I mean, fantastic pro shop, you know, good offers. It had everything, really. So yeah, the day, the course, so excited to play this for however long, and the course didn't, it really didn't let us down, really. I think, you know, the fairways, the undulating fairways, it's just stunning, really. It's the first time I've ever played a links course, and it just lived up to everything that I imagined and more. You know, the way the kind of the fairways ran, and you know, the fairways were super quick, and then they would run off, and then it'd be so much, you know, rough. And I mean, round the greens, my favourite part of the whole course was round the greens, because you kind of like, you know, you didn't have rough immediately close to the greens. You had these runoff areas and these undulations, and for a good golfer, not myself, that's, I think, the best way to test a play, you know, test a short game around the greens. And they've got them like little tight lies, and it's obviously from being from Surrey and kind of playing like heathland courses or just, you know, tree lined parkland courses, you don't really get that so much. You know, you're kind of right around the green, you just have fucking rough, and it's just a case of hacking out. You know, don't get me wrong, off the fairways there was penal rough, and you know, I found it really hard to keep my ball in play. Didn't hit the driver well at all, and then, you know, you're finding the rough and it was just impossible to score. But that's what it should be. I found Prince's, I thought I was going to find it a lot longer than it was, but I didn't find it long. I thought if you got your golf ball in the right areas on the fairway, then it was very scorable. You know, obviously not myself, but watching players in my group, like Dan Peel, who hit some absolutely stunning drives. He didn't consistently hit it well for 18 holes, but he still, you know, when he gets hold of it, he, you know, hits some great drives. And you see, once you put your ball off the tee to the right spots, you could attack it and you could score well. But it was just the intricacy of, you know, how the ball ran off the fairway and the it was just, honestly, there's not enough words I could say, despite my poor play, of how much I enjoyed it. It was stunning. Got lucky with the weather. The weather, you know, it was threatened to be raining all. Felt like, you know, I was looking at the forecast, checking the forecast day in, day out for about 3 weeks prior, and you know, there was one, it was heavy rain at one point. We got lucky, we had a bit of rain on the front nine, and it, you know, it was nothing really. I played with Ollie Phipps, Dan Peel, and Dickie Smith. I mean, Phipsy really impressed me, actually. His game's come on so much in the last 2 years. You know, I played him at the last year's match play, and we both played off the same handicap, and I beat him gross. And I mean, he hit the ball really well, you know, especially off the tee. I was really impressed with how he controlled the ball off the tee. He had a great chance to win it, you know. I think he shot 39 points off a 20 handicap, which is solid, you know, solid golf really. He had a chance, you know, coming up 17 and 18, and I think he missed a really short putt on Bloody Point, the signature par 3, which is kind of like situated, you know, the green situated right in front of the kind of like the beach. He missed, I'm not even talking, it must have been a foot, and he missed that. You know, he had opportunities. I think he 3-putted 16 as well, after a good tee shot. What was it, 17, he hit, you know, he had a chance. I think he was 4 under, and I think the kind of the pressure, and I don't know, just he's never been in that position before where he's generally had a good chance to win. And you know, he pushed his tee shot right into the water. You know, I think he was 2 shots short of a playoff. You know, I think he's got to go into the next event confident with that. That's the first time he's been in contention at a BJ Tour event. It's been, you know, never mind it's our biggest event we play for each year. So the experience of kind of being in the hunt, being in contention down the stretch, that's going to do him amazingly well when in future he has them opportunities. And I believe if Phipsy plays like he did yesterday, he will win one. He will win a tour event soon. You know, I was so impressed with Phipsy's game. Dan Peel, I think he's another one. You know, he didn't quite have his best stuff yesterday, but in terms of how he hits the ball and kind of, he's just a natural sportsman, really. You know, he's a good cricketer, he's good hand-eye coordination, and if he gets hold of a driver, he absolutely smashes it. I mean, you know, I think if Pirlo, I think he struggled yesterday with either over-clubbing or under-clubbing. He kind of, I don't know whether or not he kind of knows how far he hits each club properly, or the wind, or just, you know, the links conditions around the green. It was, he had to be so precise, otherwise these runoff areas, like we said, you'd miss a green or you end up short. But Pirlo, you know, T21, he was disappointed, and I think that shows you what a winner he is. But, you know, he's got potential, he's got bags of potential, and I expect to see him contend for tournaments. And definitely, if he's, you know, going to be a member over the next 3, 4, 5 years, I definitely expect him to win one or two. He's got too much natural talent, really. Dickie Smith, you know, he started off really slow, and then he kind of, he played better towards the back nine, and he kind of, you know, he did okay, but I think it's just difficult for 15 handicap for Dick, because he's, you know, he's, I don't think he's quite up to that, really. But, yeah, I remember on the back nine, just kind of like checking VPAR and looking at the leaderboard, and it just, honestly, every time I checked the leaderboard, it just felt like someone else was making a charge. It was mad, really. I can't remember an invitational, really. I don't know, obviously, it might just be recency bias. I can't remember an invitational in the last, you know, I might be really stupid here if I've forgotten something obvious, but in the last 2, 3, 4 years where it's, you know, it was so tight, it was so close, you know. I looked early on, Danny Slade was up there, Joe Alloway was up there really early, and, you know, obviously George Vincent made a run, then Craig Martin made a run, you know, just fucking unheard of. Like, you know, I think I said on the preview part, I said, no offence to Craig, I generally don't think he's got any chance, you know. And I mean, that's what I love. I fucking love it when people that no one gives any chance, or any, no one, you know, everyone thinks got no chance, and they just have an absolute blinder, and then they put themselves in a position to win the biggest tournament that we play for. And I mean, Craig Martin, you know, he showed no fucking form for like the last 2 years. I gave him an extra shot because I just felt like he wasn't consistently playing anywhere near his handicap. And then he goes and shoots, what? He finished 4 under. He casually shot, you know, he shot, what was it, 72? He shot 90 round Princes. Gross. I mean, that's, for Craig, that's, you know, he's played an apt, it's probably the best he's ever played. I spoke to Craig briefly afterwards, and he was disappointed, you know. And I think at the start of the day, if someone had offered him T2, then he would have taken it. But, you know, he had the opportunity coming down 18 where he was on full, he was on 39 points. And, you know, you kind of felt like if he had maybe birdied that, had a net birdie on that, you know, it might have put a bit more pressure on the people coming in. And you never know what that would change. I think, you know, Craig's got to be absolutely buzzing. See, when it all settles down and he thinks about it, 40 points round Princes, which is a tough course, demanding course, I think he's got to be really happy. You know, I know he double bogeyed the last, you know, to miss out on 2 points on the 18th, and he set the clubhouse lead at 40. So Craig's got to be optimistic, he's got to be positive, and he's now got to look at, you know, at the Masters, at these season ending events, you know, like the playoffs, which he would have, I'm pretty sure he would have done enough now to qualify with that T2. He's got to look at these events and think, yeah, I can play on my day good enough golf to compete and to be up there. That's, for him, that's going to give him so much more confidence. And again, you know, like I said with Ollie Phipps, he's going to go into, next time he's in that situation, he's going to have more confidence. He's going to be more familiar with that feeling. You know, fuck me, it's been years since I played any good golf to my handicap where I was competing. But, you know, when you get in contention, you generally feel like you've got half a chance of winning. Honestly, there's nothing like it. It's a great feeling. Craig had that feeling yesterday, and having that feeling and just coming up short, that's going to do him, you know, that's going to help him in the future. George Vincent, come T2 again. George Vincent's played 2 invitationals now, and he's come runner-up both times. So George is someone that's so consistent. You know, he's gone up to number 2 in the world, He's got an average ranking of 55, which is crazy, from 8 events, I think it is. George, you know, he's won on the BJ Tour. He won on debut back at the 2019 Travelers with Craig Martin, who also come tied second, obviously. And he's knocked on the door. You know, he's had a couple of runner-ups at the Invitational. I think if he keeps knocking on the door, keeps putting himself in them positions, he will get over the line eventually. You know, I like him. You know, I kind of had this feeling for last year with George. I think he's going to win. He's going to win one. I think it's going to be soon. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes this, you know, this close call, and he turns it again, turns it into a positive, and he goes into the Masters. Hopefully, I can't remember if he's playing, and, you know, he gets over the line next time. You know, he had a short putt on the 18th hole to get to 41 points, and that would have overtaken Craig Martin at the time. And again, you never know what pressure that might have put on Rooney. But great performance from George again, and you know, he's just chiseling out such a great BJ Tour career. I think in golf, you know, it's so hard to win, so hard to win. You know, you think you had 32 players yesterday, and only one of them can win. You know, and it's hard to get that win in a field of 32. But you know what's even harder is just consistently be up there, consistently be contending, and that's what George has done. You know, he hasn't got over the line in individual events yet, but you know, you put yourself up there enough times, eventually something will stick, and that's what he's got to keep telling himself. Another honourable shout out to Brett Folzer. He had a great, you know, his best ever finish in a BGA major. You know, Brett again, he's last year he came, I think it was tied 7th at Purbeck in the Invitational, and now he's had a T4. So Brett, you know, that is great to see. I think this Invitational, I think going into it, the talk was, and from me included, was the lower handicaps, you know, Jones, Biffin, Caldwell, they're going to win. It's going to be too hard for the high handicap, your average golfer. And I think what happened at the Invitational yesterday just showed that's maybe complete bollocks. And I need to stop thinking it's so, you know, the script's written, because what yesterday proved is anything can fucking happen on the day. We had the leaderboard was of such variety that it was actually refreshing to feel like, well, look, anyone can win on their day if they just play their fucking heart out. You know, Brett Folzer, he's not had a great record in the last few years. I know he made the semis of the World Match Play last year, but in terms of the majors, you know, he's not been up there, he's not contended, he's not, but he had a great day yesterday. And you know, Brett's going to be full of confidence, which is great to see. Honourable mention to Ben Cawthorn. He came tied 6. Obviously a lot of talk of Ben going into the Invitational. It's just, I don't know why, you know, Ben's such a capable player. I think on his day, he's a streaky player. On his day, he can go really low. But he also, if he's having a bad day, he goes the opposite way. I think he's a real confidence player, Ben. You know, he's very emotional. If his golf's really bad, then it's really, really bad. But on his day, his golf can be really good. Yesterday showed himself, and obviously the doubters and the haters, and the people that mocked him, you know, when he lost 7-5 to Kev Smith. Recently, it's 3 days before the Invitational. So it's just amazing to think of the complete turnaround in form that Ben had. He's gone from just complete wilderness of golf, where, you know, I heard rumblings that he told someone that he didn't want to play Invitational, that he was potentially going to quit the game. Well, now look, he's got a T6 at Prince's, arguably one of the most toughest setups we've ever played at. Shows again that he can compete still on his day. I was really pleased with Ben. You know, at the end when he's all hyper and he's all jovial and all bubbly, that's great to see. That's the Ben Cawthorn we like. You know, I don't want to see this Ben that's turning up 1 hour sleep, waffed off his nut, to the TPC, you know, miserable, grumpy, depressed. I don't want to see that. I want to see a happy, bubbly, you know, the Ben that we had when he was fat. The Ben we had before he got into all this vegan bollocks, before he lost all the weight. We love that Ben, bubbly Ben. You know, great to see Ben back. 4-time BJ Tour winner. The tour's a stronger place when we've got a Ben that's thriving and is hungry. Another, you know, a big honourable shout out to Mike Arnott, world number one, 3-time BJ Tour winner, 2-time major champion. You know, he got cut from 9 to 7 for this event again. I think, you know, he just keeps proving everyone wrong that fucking likes to chat shit about, oh, he's a bandit and all that. I cut him, no complaints, no qualms, just gets on with it, very calculated. And again, yesterday he was up there at one point. You know, I saw he got to 2 under. He might have even got to 3, I'm not sure. And just fucking so consistent. He's world number one for a reason. I think he's got an average ranking of 60-something, which is just fucking absurd. You know, he's played 2 majors this year. He's come 2nd and tied 6. You know, he got cut to 10 at the start of the year from last year, and now he's been cut again another 2 shots. He says okay, takes it in his stride, and he, you know, has another top 10. You know, he's got a nice healthy lead in the order of merit. You know, he's definitely going to make the playoffs again, and it really wouldn't surprise me if he won the Masters again. He's confirmed for that. Just a super consistent player, no thrills, no gimmicks. What you see is what you get. And yeah, this is, I haven't got any more compliments really to say of Arnie. It's just the way he can, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he plays golf. He seems pretty unflustered, very level headed, and his results show that. Another honourable mention has to be said, Dave Casido, Bogota's favourite son, the Shagger of Cambridge. You know, where do you start with Dave? He's another one. He's like Phipsy in a way, where, I mean, every time you see the WhatsApp chat, it's kind of like Dave's playing some pitch and putt in Cambridge, or some, I don't know, whatever he's doing's working because his game's improved. He might not have the most perfect swing, he might not be technically sound, it might be a bit fucking ugly to watch, but what he's doing, he's finding a way to make it work. It's mad. You know, I remember playing with Dave a few years ago, or just seeing him hit a ball, and you were like, fucking hell, he's so bad. Where now he's got so much better. So much better. Just shows you, put in the time, find the time, put in the practice, you know, you can improve. Maybe I should take a leaf out of his book. I should, because I've gone the other way. But that's not a conversation for this podcast. So Dave, I know you're an avid listener of the podcast. Just want to give a shout out to Remy, your son, your illegitimate son. I know he's going to be very proud of his daddy after his T6 at the Invitational. So hello Remy, and hello Dave. So yeah, I think that's everyone that's kind of was up there. Where do we start with the winner? Chris Rooney. Fuck me. Chris Rooney. Wow. Where do you start with Rooney? What a fucking wild rollercoaster of a ride. I could probably do a whole hour of a podcast on Rooney's journey. That's just mad. 18 months ago, he had a hip replacement. He had a fucking hip replacement at 29. He's one of the most unhealthiest looking blokes I've seen. He smokes, he boozes, he gets up to God knows what. You know, I'm not going to go into all the illegal stuff he does. He lives a wild lifestyle. Live fast, you know, die fast. Rooney is wild. You know, he turned up yesterday and I was getting a lift with him and Paris to Prince's. Shout out Joe Paris for the lift. Honourable mention to Joe Paris's T28. And I said to Rooney in the car, you know, sat in the boot, squashed in. I said, why are you wearing like a... It looked like he was wearing a dress shirt, you know, like a shirt that you go out in. I said, why are you wearing that? He said, oh, I've got to wear long sleeves because I've had a sleeve of tribal removed via, you know, laser removal. I said, fair enough. You know, he had this pink little body warmer on. I mean, he had a little fucking hat. I can't remember what they're called. You know, look, the whole look, it was classic Rooney. I said to him, how do you fancy your chances? He said, I haven't got a fucking chance in hell. I'm just here to have a good time with you boys. I think Rooney's attitude towards the BGA is what makes the BGA Tour great. You know, and I wish that maybe I was a tiny bit like, a bit more like Rooney. Maybe just 1%. Not too much, because I don't want to be that much of a mess. But the way he just doesn't give a fuck, the way he just wants to have a good time all the time, doesn't take anything seriously, you know. He ain't gonna live to 50. He ain't seeing 50 with his lifestyle, but fuck it. As Lee Cousins once said, he's not here for a long time, he's here for a good time. Okay, Lee Cousins got that tattooed on his ass. Well, that's how Rooney lives his fucking life. And yesterday was a fucking ride. You know, he turns up, we go into McDonald's drive-thru to begin with. You know, me and Paris quite reserved with our order. I said, yeah, I'll have a sausage McMuffin meal, whatever. Rooney has one double sausage McMuffin meal. He has three bacon bagels, two fucking sausage and bacon. He had about six fucking individual little wraps. I mean, he done about £25 just on the McDonald's breakfast. You know, that's Chris Rooney in a nutshell. Live fast, die old. You know, we then get to the club and he takes it seriously. He's straight on the practice screen. He's grinding. He just loves it. He fucking loves it. And he's a good golfer as well. And I think maybe yesterday he probably didn't hit the booze as much during the round. And I mean, he was a 10 handicap. He shot, you know, he shot a 77 yesterday, gross, round Princes. He was one under gross on the back nine. And I think that shows Rooney what he's capable of. Maybe don't get as fucked up beforehand or during the round. Maybe save it to afterwards when you've got the fucking W. Chris fucking Rooney, man. Chris fucking Rooney, 2021 Invitational Champion. Wow. You know, I was driving home yesterday and I just thought, fucking hell, Rooney's the Invitational Champion. I mean, who would have picked that? Not even Rooney picked it. You know, I remember we were watching, I was on the 18th green and Rooney obviously was coming down the last. He needed 39 points, stripes a fucking drive, position A. You know, and I'm videoing him thinking, right, he's got to hit this. This is probably his second shot. He's got to hit this onto the green. Two putt to win in normal time, you know. George Vincent, Craig Martin were on 40 points. He steps up like he's done it 1,000 fucking times before and hits the shot of his life. It didn't look too fancy, the shot, you know. Just a solid approach shot. Little right to left shape on it. Hits the green perfectly. The undulation takes it to about 12 foot. Under the circumstances, you know, the breeze had picked up. The wind was there. Fuck me. What a shot. What a shot. And he knew what was riding on it, you know. This isn't back in the day where we would go in after nine, we'd play nine, and at the end I'd count up everyone's scores and I'd go, yep, he's won. We got VPAR now. Everyone's got a live leaderboard. Everyone knows what everyone's doing. Rooney knew the significance of that shot, and he hits probably one of the best shots of his life. Under that pressure, them conditions, that wind, that expectation, it was stunning. I always thought of Rooney as, obviously, he's a fucking joker. He's someone that doesn't take himself too seriously. I always thought, I know he cares about the BGA Tour and I know what it would mean to him, but I always thought he didn't take himself seriously enough to step up and win a major. Well, that proved me fucking wrong. Steps up, hits the shot of his life under the biggest pressure of his life. You know, he's got a 12-foot putt for a, you know, for a gross birdie to win by. He would have won by two. He hits a great putt, just shaves the outside right cut. You know, and he leaves himself a good 3-foot putt back. Little bit of a bend in the putt. You know, and I thought, fuck me, if this was me hole about to take this putt, I'd be a little bit nervous. You know, he ran it a little bit further than he probably wanted to. Not Rooney. Steps up. Everyone on the pavilion, or the balcony, I should say. It's not cricket. Everyone watching. Steps up, holds it. Everyone's cheering. What a scene. Imagine when the invitation, or the biggest one, at a place like Prince's. Fucking goosebumps. You know, I'm filming him. Goes right into the camera and just screams yes. Pure raw emotion. That's how much it means to him. And I think that shows you how big the BJ Tour's got, or how much the Invitational means. No one thought Rooney was going to win today, and he won. And I think that should motivate, and that should inspire people that aren't necessarily up there all the time. That every fucking dog does have its day sometimes. I was over the moon to see Rooney win. I really was. You know, someone that I know how much he loves the BJ Tour. He plays every fucking event. I say, Rooney, you available? Yes. He loves it. So enthusiastic. He gets what the BJ Tour is about. And then what does he do? He leaves his car in Windlesham. He gets on the party coach. And then he parties till about 10 a.m. the next day. He texts me. You know, obviously vicious rumours going around. What's Rooney doing? What's Rooney doing? I text him saying this morning, I said, where the fuck are you? He said, oh mate, I've just got in, I'm about to go to sleep. It was about 10:30 a.m. I'd been up for about 5 hours and done about 4 hours worth of work. That's Rooney. You know, he's got his car in fucking Windlesham, which is miles away from where he lives. How's he going to get there the next day? Who gives a fuck? I've just won the Invitational, now leave me alone. I'm going to go party and celebrate this W. What an inspiring story. You know, so many storylines yesterday. You know, so many storylines, so many kind of challenges, so many obstacles that people overcome. You know, there's going to be a lot of people walking away from Prince's with a lot of confidence. They really are. It was a great day, boys. It was one of my favourite days ever on a golf course, definitely. Despite me playing like a complete cunt, it was one of my favourite days on the golf course. I absolutely loved it. I really did. It was amazing. And it made me feel very, very, what's the word? Grateful that what we've built, not just me, but what we've built, me and the members, and what it's now turned into, you know, playing the Invitational Prince's, going to all these amazing courses that we got lined up. It made me feel very just thankful that, you know, it was just a good time. We've got a great thing, BJ Tour, we really have. And you know what? The season ain't over. We got loads left. Next up, President's Cup, July 3rd. Hopefully we can get into a pub and do a Battle Cruiser episode with Edmonds and a few of the other boys, and like it used to be, in a pub having a few beers, talking shit. That'd be good. Anyway, thought I'd just run through the Invitational, the 19th Invitational. What a day it was. But at the end, the day belonged to one man, and that was Chris Rooney, 2021 Invitational Champion. I'm the president, and I'm out. Thank you. Bye.